Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, April 4th, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on tonight's scripture reading. Picking up last week, we were reading Gospel of John chapter 3. This week, picking up on 4 by Alexander Scrope.
Chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messias cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee.
Okay, tonight I'm going to take a look. I think I opened the page up yet. Let me see if I get to the page.
You should
watch this, guys. Okay, we're in a Q&A mode. There's some people with a mic open. Might want to close them. I don't know why this doesn't want to open on me, unless it already has. Well, let me try to get to it another way. Okay. All right, last week we looked at the Bar Association, and the week before we looked at political parties. For anybody who missed those 2 weeks, you might want to go back and take a look at that. We did post them up on our Monday night open forum videos. We don't post every Monday night program up on video, but we do post them all in MP3s. But sometimes we do MP4s when we share the desktop, and we would post them up here. You can also find them on our other page, on the weekly call page. But anyway, you can find the last two, actually 3 or 4 that we actually done up here. It looks like there are 5 of them up here. But the last two particular are most important. It's important that we understand if we're going to take back this republic and we need to do that through committees of safety. There is no other way. If anybody thinks there's another way, you can bring that up, but I'd like to hear about it. But only if the people in the grassroots level step up and take back control of the political and the judicial process, their local government. Until they do that, they're not going to have a government by consent, because that's how you consent to government. The Bar Association and political parties have destroyed our republic. The whole purpose of both of those organizations ultimately was to destroy the republic. The British Bar eventually morphed into the American Bar Association. They continued with their process of destroying our judicial process and also our political process, particularly through political parties. The Bar and the political parties actually worked together in order to accomplish this. But tonight, I want to take just a quick look at We the People Are Sovereign. I'm sure we spoke about this before, but it's important that we understand that we are sovereign and what exactly that means. The word sovereign is a person, body, or state in which independent and supreme authority is vested. And that's the key. Supreme authority is vested. A chief ruler with supreme power, a king or a ruler with limited power. Now, of course, God is the sovereign of the universe. I've heard Brent speak about this on a few occasions, and no one can argue with that. Clearly, he is sovereign. But we the people have just as we would call the government, have an eclipsed sovereignty. You know, we've given them certain powers, certain authority, certain jurisdictions that they can operate within, and they're not to go outside of. Of course, they have been. And that is exactly what political parties have been doing, is pushing that envelope, pushing that conversation outside of the Constitution and into crazy land, really, things that are divisive. And, of course, the Bar Association has done the same thing, so to speak, on the judicial side particularly, but also through corporations. The total destruction of our republic is really in play at this point. I mean, everything government does seems to be outside of their authority. Every conversation they seem to have, every argument, every debate are things that they have no power and no authority to do. We the people, let's read a few things. Let's just take the preamble of the Constitution, for instance. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote for the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So here we clearly ordained and established the Constitution. The King ordains, we the people ordained. We are above the Constitution, for we are the lawgivers by being through the Constitution, at least for our government. Of course, we the people are under the law of God. We're under the laws of nature's God, and we must be obedient unto that. But we also have been entrusted with that as jurists to be decision makers in our courts of justice, to decide whether an individual might be guilty of something, and we would indict them and in a court of law make that decision whether they are guilty or not, and also make the decision on the penalty, deciding both facts and the law. So indeed, the sovereign of the universe is nature's God, who commanded his people in Genesis chapter 1, verse 10 and 28, to subdue the earth, which is the land, which means to bring it into subjection under the law. And we did that when we declared the laws of nature's God to be the supreme law of the land in the Declaration of Independence. Only the people exercising their sovereign authority over government through committees of safety, which is the real committeemen, and grand and petit jury, can this be accomplished. And only then will we have government by consent, and not before. Article 6, paragraph 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and in all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or the laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human event it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. Now, of course, in the Declaration, we read, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government, that when whatever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So people are sovereign and can only be tried in courts of law by fellow sovereigns and not bureaucrats. And that is one of the key things that people need to understand. Today we go into our courts and we see these judges, they come in. In many courts, especially the town courts, they'll sentence people to jail, no jury, no indictment, nothing. But even in many other courts, and even courts where they have stacked juries, the judges take over as far as declaring what kind of penalty would be. But this is the people's job, and the people have forgotten that. The people don't know that anymore. And until we understand that, we're not going to take our courts back. We will continue to have courts of injustice, courts controlled by the Bar Association. And as we read a couple of weeks ago, that the Bar Association has destroyed our common law in 1938 through the Rules Enabling Act. And in that process of time, they changed our common law, discarded it. They say they abrogated the common law, or they combined the common law with equity, which is an impossibility. That's trying to put water and oil together. But in any event, they created what's called civil law. And then they just make the law up and been adding to it ever since. And the people have gone along with it because they have forgotten. We are no longer operating as a nation under common law. Even our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, are discarded or ignored and not permitted to be applied in our courts. So the doctrine of sovereign immunity is one of the common law immunities and defenses that are available to the sovereign. And again, the people are the sovereign. And of course, we're talking about within this world and sovereign ultimately over our government, that no power on earth has any authority over we the people. Only the law of God has the power over the people, and that brings us into our courts of justice. Sovereignty is in the people. No authority can, on any pretense whatsoever, be exercised over the citizens of this state, but such as is or shall be derived from and granted by the people. In the United States, sovereignty resides in the people. The Congress cannot invoke the sovereign power of the people to override their will as thus declared. And we declared that in the Constitution. The people of this United States, as the successors of the former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. It is the public policy of these states that public agencies exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business. The people do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies which serve them. At the Revolution, the sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of the country, but they are sovereigns without subjects, with none to govern but themselves. And of course, all that we're reading here is Supreme Court cases. You know, I use Supreme Court cases all the time when I write papers for the courts to make the point, to declare, to order ultimately the judges that are listening in that they need to be obedient to this. This is the law of the land. And these are the Supreme Court rulings, their boss. Not to use it as precedents, but to use it as matters of fact, and maybe even to give a definition of a word or a phrase being used also, Supreme Court rulings, or of course Black's Law, Beauvoir's. The very meaning of sovereignty is that the decree of the sovereign makes the law. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to positive law is equity, by the way, and it's an interesting name that they gave equity, positive law. But positive law being equity is also common law because it is supposed to be under the principles, supposed to operate under the rules of the common law. Of course, they made their own rules to the Rules Enabling Act and also changed the law back there in 1938. It was the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, but it was, came into effect in 1938. And they also, of course, at that point, had done away with the rules of common law in both courts because, again, they fused into one court. And so they'd done away with the rules of common law in both equity and law, and ultimately they've done away with common law. And the only way we, the people, are going to get it back is if we take it back. And, again, that's why we keep driving the point here at National Liberty Alliance that people need to get involved. People need to step up and do their duty. They need to get going and get committees of safety going. Sovereignty itself is not subject to law, also known as statutes. That's positive law. For it is the author and source of legislated law. Now, it is true that we have appointed individuals and, we have not appointed them. We vote individuals in. Some have been appointed by individuals that we voted in, but particularly our legislators, to write legislation under equity, which would be laws, statutes, codes, regulations that control themselves, the different government agencies, and to control commercial activities, but never to control the behavior of the people. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And the law is the definition and limitation of power. President Trump, addressed to the UN on September 19, 2017, said, "In America, the people govern, the people rule, and the people are sovereign. I was elected not to take power, but to give power to the American people where it belongs. If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph. If the people do not have 100% control of our political and judicial processes, they cannot have government by consent." George Washington said, and we saw this a couple of weeks ago, "Parties are your worst enemies and will subvert the power of the people and usurp for themselves the reins of government." Thomas Jefferson said, and we saw that a week or two ago, "The Constitution is a mere thing of wax in the hands of the judiciary, where they may twist and shape into any form they please. The germ of dissolution of our federal government is the Constitution of the federal judiciary, an irresponsible body, for impeachment is scarcely a scarecrow, working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless steps like a thief over the field of jurisdiction until they all shall be usurped." So Jefferson believed that the destruction of America would be caused by the judges, by the judiciary, and he was 100% right. They have destroyed our republic. But Washington, he believed that it would be the parties that would destroy our nation, and he's 100% right. Between the two of them, and again, remember, the parties have their power only because of legislators, and legislators are steered by lawyers. Again, the lawyers are bar attorneys, and they write all the law, it seems, and they just sign it into law. And they don't have the time. I don't think these congressmen or senators even know what they're even signing in. An irresponsible body for impeachment is scarcely a scarecrow. You know, these judges, when they're in bad behavior, the Constitution says the judges, they get to serve as long as they're in good behavior. And that strongly puts out the fact or the idea that, well, if they're in bad behavior, they're no longer to serve. The question is what is bad behavior? And bad behavior is anything that is anti-constitutional, anything that is repugnant to the Constitution that they uphold. Anytime they do not champion the Constitution, which is what their job is specifically in the federal courts, is to champion the Constitution for we the people. And they do not do that. And so since Congress will not indict them, we the people can, I mean, will not impeach them, which is what they should be doing. then we the people should take it upon ourselves to indict them. And we have been doing that here at National Liberty Alliance. We have indicted well over 100 judges, 100 federal judges, and many others. Of course, they haven't taken any kind of a power yet as far as being executed, but we do expect at some point in time it will be eventually acknowledged and executed. Let's see. Socialist lawyers, also known as progressives, have dominated our legislation since the beginning of the 20th century and our judiciary since at least 1948, probably a lot earlier than that. These socialists will argue that the people are not sovereign, that we are subject to their fiction of law. If we are subject to their legislated will, also known as law, we are not sovereign. If we are not sovereign, then there is no liberty, and thereby we have been robbed of our American heritage. United States Supreme Court said, sovereignty means that the decree of the sovereign makes the law, and foreign courts cannot condemn influences for persuading sovereigns to make the decree. So we the people make the law because we are the sovereigns. We the people ordained and established the Constitution. We the people acknowledge yes or no for a potential indictment. We the people decide whether they're guilty or not. We the people decide what the penalty is with an eye on restitution for the injured party. But of course, none of that is happening today because the people are ignorant. They do not know these things. They don't understand, and they just continue down the path of destruction. As Thomas Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson also said that the Constitution of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves in all cases to which they think themselves competent, as in electing their functionaries, executive, and legislators, and declaring by a jury of themselves both fact and law in all judiciary cases in which any fact is involved. Now, the first part is the fact that we are, we elect those, our executive and the legislative. We're to elect them. We are to decide. That's government by consent. Who goes on to the ballot and who doesn't? And again, political parties decide that. The people don't decide that. The people get the choice of the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. And that's the only choice we've had. And at this point, it is we're to blame for that. Because now the people know. The people, at least here, people listening through what we're teaching here at NLA, the people know that it's up to them to take charge of these things. It's their duty to have government by consent. Liberty is not going to defend itself. Liberty is not going to protect itself. We are not going to force anyone to obey any law unless the people step up on the grassroots and do what needs to be done. Samuel Adams said, the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth and not to be under the will or legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule. And again, how many people have gone to jail because they've been charged by a government with legislation that claims to be a law onto them and find themselves in jail? Take the fact that there is that the IRS comes out after people and you end up into a debtor's prison. Debtor's prison's been done away with a long time ago, but not in America. We have a debtor's prison operating right now. The United States Court said, the decisions of a superior court may only be challenged in a court of appeals. The decision of an inferior court are subject to collateral attack. In other words, in a superior court, one may sue an inferior court. And a superior court is a court by the people. An inferior court would be a foreign court or a court of equity, which would be foreign to the people. But they may sue an inferior court directly rather than resort to an appeal or to an appellate court. So when a judge seizes control of a court of record that an individual has opened up looking to get justice, and that court applies its own rulings upon those people. They have the right and they have the authority to sue that court directly, which includes, of course, the prosecutor, if there is one, or the U.S. attorneys, along with the judge and that whole court. Decisions of a court of record may not be appealed. And how many times have they turned over cases when the people have made a decision and the case was turned? How many times have they called for a jury that can't make the final decision? I forget what they call it, but in any event, a jury that is stuck. Well, if one person, just one person on the jury, cannot be budged and cannot be moved to find a guilty plea, then they have to at some point just come to the conclusion we can't convict and the person must be let go, because that's the law. It just must be 12, all of them. But of course, again, something again the people don't know about, and something again, they do whatever they please. And as long as we don't know the law, as long as we don't step up and watch them like a hawk and apply the law upon them, they'll continue to do this, and they'll continue to take more power and abuse us more and more, and we just find ourselves being at the tail end of this whole thing. So a decision of a court of record may not be appealed. It is binding on all other courts. However, no statutory or constitutional court, whether it be an appellate or Supreme Court, can second-guess the judgment of a court of record. The United States Supreme Court cannot second-guess the decision of a court of record, a court that is run by a jury of 12, because the people are above the United States Supreme Court. The only time, of course, the United States Supreme Court can involve themselves in a case, but it would be really on a very specific situation where maybe in that case someone's rights were violated, then it's their duty to champion the right of the Constitution for those individuals or individual who has been violated. But only in that area. They can't overturn the decision of that court. The judgment of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final is as conclusive on all the world as the judgment of this court would be. It's the United States Supreme Court speaking. It is as conclusive on this court as it is on other courts. In other words, it's above them. It puts an end to the inquiry concerning the facts by making a decision, by deciding it. Okay, that brings us kind of to the end of that looking at sovereignty. But it's extremely important that the people understand, because we have to give up dealing with these parties. We have to give up our party membership. I'm registered as a Republican, and soon I'm going to head down to the Board of Election and become a no-party member. I'm not going to be part of the Republican Party or any other party. And that empowers me. That gives me the power to be able to walk anyone's petitions. And we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks or so. I think next week we may look a little bit at Republic and democracy next week. But the following week, we're going to look a little deeper into walking people's papers, because that time period is coming for many places. And there's a big election coming up this year, and a lot of people hopefully will get committees of safety going, get involved in their local communities, and start walking papers for individuals. Now, I did put together a page. I was asked to put the page together, and I'm glad I was asked to do that, because let me find this first. It is under Start a Committee of Safety. So people might want to look at this page. If you have any comments or thoughts or any want to come up with a conversation on this page, I mean, that'd be a good idea to discuss. And if maybe we wouldn't discuss anything this week, but maybe next week, unless people want to breeze through that and find some questions they may have on that. But interviewing candidates is a page that I put up. I was asked to do that. I did get a list of things on what kind of questions should be asked to these people, these candidates. And, there's a lot of things we can't ask them. You know, what do they think about abortion? What do they think about gay marriage? Who cares what they think about anything? They can think whatever they want. They don't have the authority to discuss these things in public using their political office in order to make division among the people, because we didn't give them the authority to decide those things. you know, trying to give other people special rights or something over other people. Look, everybody's got the same rights as anyone else does, and if their rights have been violated and they feel that they've been injured, they can go into a court of justice and get the justice. Not that there are any courts of justice open today. I'm sure there might be a few here or there. I haven't found them yet. But generally speaking, they don't exist today. And certainly after devolution, if the people step up, and only if we the people step up, and we can get maybe half the counties in America. There are 3,130-some-odd counties in America. So if we can get about 1,500 committees of safety, that would be half the nation, and that would be far more than enough to be able to put the pressure, to be able to make the changes from the people, from the grassroots level, putting the pressure upon the judiciary, putting the pressure upon the federal government. I don't think we're going to get much of anywhere until after devolution, though, and clearly devolution is playing out as we speak today, and we should think by before this year is out, it should be over with. And in the opportunity to take the power back, because there will be a power vacuum. There will be a lot of people who will not be there anymore. People who have been taken out of office, people going to jail, and people ending up at the end of the short rope. I truly believe all that's going to happen this year. And it seems to be raining upon them today as we speak. Anybody paying attention? I mean, things are being released all over the place. When it gets back here to interviewing individuals, and I'm not going to go through this tonight. Again, I think people should take a look at this, read through it, and then, you know, we should open it up for some discussion. You know, questions were put together, you know, asking them certain questions about the Constitution. They won't know that answer either unless we teach it to them. And asking them their positions on a lot of these things, again, that they have no authority. You know, should the Patriot Act be repealed? They don't even know what the Patriot Act says. And I'm sure a lot of the new candidates wouldn't even know either. So these are questions they couldn't answer. I think the time has come to stop asking these people questions and start giving them orders. And that's what this is written up about. I'm just going to read a paragraph or two, but this is too long to go through tonight. But potential candidates have no knowledge of the Constitution. And once in office, they are met by by two destructive forces. And let me tell you, two destructive forces are working on them in Congress. All of the people that we elect, put in whatever office we put, there's a lawyer and a political party boss working on these people day and night to make sure that they get through what they want to get through, and to hell with the people. Two destructive forces, the American Bar Association and the two political parties. Once these people are in office, they are assimilated into the party. It's like Borgs, the Borg, which is a mindset. Corrupted by special interest bribes, because that's what it is. When an elected individual gets money from a special interest group in order to vote, not on behalf of the people, but on behalf of them, on things that they shouldn't even be voting on anyway, okay? That's called a bribe, and these people should be indicted when we find out. As soon as they come back to our home states, they should be indicted and yanked from office. And the people can do this, but only if we've taken back our courts on the grassroots level, only if we've taken back our political process at the grassroots level. It starts with taking back control right at home in our own counties, taking local government back and working from that point forward. And remember, you know, you have a representative. If we can control at least half the representatives, again, they're in 50% of the counties of America, if we can get people involved, and they require certain things of the people that they help to get in office, and even if they don't get them in office, you know, we can alert them that they need to do the right thing, or we will recall them. Again, the power of the people to recall, the power of the people to either put them in office or take them out of office. The people don't know that they have that. Instead, we go begging. Asking and begging. It's time to stop. It's time for us to step up and tell them what we need, what they need to do, and what we expect of them. And again, that's how I've written this paper up. And I really would like to get some conversation on this, so people, again, hopefully will read this throughout the week, and we'll talk about it next week. And if someone wants to talk about it a little bit tonight, that'd be good too. But anyway, mindset corruption by special interest bribes, and can no longer hear. They can no longer hear the people as they continue down the political party path to destroy our republic unless the people step up and take control through committees of safety. To understand how destructive the bar and the parties truly are, read and require political potential candidates to read the following papers. And these papers are attached to this on this page, and also you can click to download a copy, a PDF copy of this page. You can also download an independent designating petition with the instructions, which means as a non-party member, when you have no party, you can walk anyone's papers. That is key, and that's important. There is one other way you can maintain, if you wanted to maintain, I don't know why you'd want to do it, but if you wanted to maintain your Republican status as a Republican Party or some other party, you could do that. And in order to walk someone else's papers, then you have to become a notary. Because only a notary within the party. You see, that's where the law comes in to play the games, to restrict the people even more, to tie them down to the chains of the statutes that they create. But anyway, these papers that these people should be reading, the political parties are truly our worst enemy, and how our founding fathers feared political factions would tear the nation apart. We read that a couple of weeks ago. The ABA must be disbanded for treason. Again, we read that last week. We the people are sovereign, that's what we looked at this week, and we are a republic and not a democracy. Hopefully we'll look at that next week. Most people will say that we cannot abolish, and I hear this all the time, and as long as we have a defeatist attitude, then we'll get nowhere. But it's very simple to take these people out, to destroy, to get rid of them. It is very simple. It just requires the people to become knowledge of the destruction of these people and how these institutions have destroyed our republic and will continue to destroy our republic and deny we the people a government by consent by taking away our right of consent. And they've done that. People go and beg their government. They go to their town halls and they cry out for this and they just ignore them and vote anyway the way the hell they want anyway. Well, it's time to stop it. Most people will say that we cannot abolish the two-party system and the ABA because they are too powerful and too deeply embedded into our political and judicial system. In today's political environment, this is true. But after devolution plays out, and that's playing out as we speak, after devolution plays out, there will be a power vacuum. And if we, the people, seize the opportunity, we can return to government by consent. This will require at least one half of U.S. counties to develop committees of safety. Right now, we have, the last time I looked, which was about a week ago, we have 77 committees of safety in process, okay? So that's not too bad, you know. I didn't think we had that many, and I'm glad to find out we do have that many. So 77 is a good start. But we need 770, okay? We need ultimately 1,500 committees of safety. It's up to you to do it. Anybody who's hearing my voice and hearing these messages from National Liberty Alliance and is not involved in the committee of safety in their own county, well, all I can say is shame on you. You need to get involved. You don't have to be the one to run it if that's what you don't want to do, but you need to connect with people in your county. You need to start getting together and organizing committees of safety. You know, if there's no one that has started a committee of safety, and you can find out that app by looking underneath you start a committee of safety, and you can kind of come down and find your county committee of safety, and you click on that page, you click on your state, and you'll see if one isn't started in your county. If one has not been started in your county, then you can follow the instructions on how to put yourself, your first name and your phone number up there, and then you can start help organizing. You could pass that on to someone else at some other point in time. You don't have to be the chairman or the lead person if you don't want to be, but everyone should be participating. Many hands make light work, and that's what we need to do. Someone needs to lower their, mute their mic, I mean, they're coming through, sounds coming through. Anyway, let me see where I left off here. Seize the opportunity to return to government. Can this require at least half the counties? For details on devolution, you can go to our page on devolution here. And to learn to start a committee of safety, we give a link to that too. Now, here, the ABA can be shut down by simply enforcing the original 13th Amendment, which was written and passed by our founding fathers in 1818, okay, which reads as follows. If these people, any bar attorney falls underneath this criteria. This was solely written. If you go into the Constitution, you'll see parts of this is already in the Constitution. But one of the things they failed to put in here, and that's why they came up with the 13th Amendment, was a title of honor. Okay, they talked about people holding an office of trust under different titles, but not a title of honor. Esquire is a title of honor. It's let me read this. If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor. You see, they had nobility in there, but they didn't have or honor. And that's what the 13th Amendment added, ultimately, I think, was just those two words, or honor, okay, which is directed at directly at the Esquire, which is a bar attorney. And bar attorneys are taught to destroy the common law. That's their purpose, okay? And they first appeared in the colonies in 1750. Okay, I think it was 1750. And the whole purpose was to destroy the common law. And they passed that on to the American Bar Attorney and, Association. And clearly their only purpose seems to be destroy the common law, too. After all, they say it's been abrogated. Well, who abrogated it? We the people didn't abrogate it. How can they abrogate it? They're only servants. So if any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, that's the addition, from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, bar is a foreign power, such an American Bar Association is a foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them. Esquire is a bar title of honor from the King or Queen of Britain, ultimately, even though it's the American bar. The purpose of the bar was and still is to abrogate the common law. And, of course, National Liberty Alliance will charge the American Bar Association after devolution in the federal courts, requiring them to disband under the following U.S. codes. I'm not going to read through the codes, but it's USC 18 U.S.C. Code 2385, which is advocating the overthrow of the government. They clearly do that. They print, they publish, they issue, they circulate, they teach destruction of our common law. It's exactly what they do. Clearly, easily proven, in their own words. And under USC 18 U.S.C. 2381, treason, okay? And that could bring the death penalty. We can shut down the political parties, and this is the simplest, really. People don't realize how easy it is. Anybody that's been in the committeeman thing, okay, believe me, after a while you begin to realize you're a sucker and you get out, okay? It takes a while to figure that out. So they have a high attrition rate, constantly losing people, constantly trying to get people in. But we can shut down the political parties by simply taking back the political control from the statutory committeeman process by organizing committees of safety and thereby empowering the free and independent people. The political parties suffer from membership attrition because of party boss control and corruption. They cannot survive competition by free and independent committeemen, and in time will just erode away. We don't even have to try to take them out, although we can, and maybe we will focus in on it at some point in the courts, but I don't think we'll have to. I think they will just fall away. Because anybody who is a committeeman that really went for the purpose of really trying to get involved to do something, I mean, that's why a lot of people get involved, and unless there's some payola in for them and they're a criminal, then they become part of the party boss process and all that other stuff. But most people are not under that situation. You know, if you look at the leadership of all of these different committeemen, you look at the chairman and the co-chairman and the treasurer and the secretary and all those people in the leadership roles, you'll find out that there are a lot of people are business people or lawyers, and they're getting all kinds of things. Maybe they're getting contracts. Maybe a guy's owns a towing company and a mechanic shops, and they get the contract year after year or every so many years off the highway to pick up the tow off that, and different things like that. There's their payola. They take care of each other, but everybody's got to do their thing. They got to get the right criminal into the process. But anyway, they cannot survive competition by free and independent committeemen, and in time will just erode away. Committee of Safety committeemen have far more power and authority than the statutory committeemen. Remember, the only thing they do is walk petitions. They don't even get the chance to really vote in on whose petitions they want to walk. You walk who you're told to walk, and that's that. And that's what you're going to find out as a committee. After a while, they just get sick of the whole thing. They've got to leave. But anyway, they have the power to walk anyone's designating petition, party or no party. We can walk anyone's. Republicans can only walk Republicans. Democrats can only walk Democrats, and so on. But non-party members, we can walk anyone's. And that's the power. Okay, and the power is in the people, and we want these people when they go into office, when they get into office, especially in Congress, we want them to give up their party membership and claim no party, separate themselves from the clique, so to speak, and start representing the people, be the people's party, take care of the business of the people, deal with things that are appropriate for them to be dealing with. Okay, free and independent, control. Right, they have the power to walk anyone's designating petition, party or no party, to put patriots on the ballots. They can recall any elected official, doesn't matter who it is, it could be Republican, Democrat, anyone. We can do a recall on anyone. And they can control our courts of law. They do that through the Judiciary Committee, communicating with the administrators for the jury. Which those are paid jobs, by the way, paid positions, for potential indictments. They can take control of our children's education, requiring a classical education, civics, real American history, and instruct them on their heritage and the duty as a citizen. In short, they can have government by consent. This is the only way it can happen. There is, I challenge anyone, and I challenge all the time, and nobody ever comes up to meet this challenge. I challenge anyone to show me any place, anywhere, any other way that we the people can have government by consent. Our founding fathers had government by consent, and they showed us how they did it. They did it through committees of safety, involvement on the grassroots level, taking control of the people, and as Thomas Jefferson said, binding them down with the chains of the Constitution. And that's what we the people have to do. With the aforesaid, I'll just read this last paragraph. With the aforesaid in mind and the realization that it would be extremely rare that anyone in office or running for office knows that we are a republic and not a democracy, that we are a common law nation, that parties are divisive and destructive to the common law republic, that our courts are unjust, that bar attorneys are the minions of the New World Order, that their authority is limited by the Constitution, they are completely ignorant of the people's sovereignty under our common law republic and its common law constitution. Candidates must be instructed in these things. Forget about asking them positions and questions. No, let's tell them what to do. Let's tell them what we expect of them. And if they don't obey us, we're going to take them out of office as quick as we put them in. 90 days we can take anybody out of office. That's how long it takes to run a recall. 90 days. Therefore, they're completely ignorant of the party's of people's sovereignty under our common law republic and its common law constitution. Candidates must be instructed in these things, without which they will be educated by the bar and political. If we don't educate them and require them to do what we want them to do, give them their marching orders, they definitely will get that from the bar, and they will get that from the political parties. And as long as we succumb to these two destructive organizations that are destroying our republic and permit them to continue and to exist, as long as we continue with that, we will not have government by consent. You cannot have your liberty. There is no constitution. Your Bill of Rights is a worthless piece of paper. It cannot defend itself. It takes you to defend that paper. Therefore, any potential candidate contacting your COS to request an interview should be sent to National Liberty Alliance, a particular page, start here, which is really the education page, to take the following courses without which we should not support their candidacy. And there are four courses we expect them to take. Now, when people go and to interview these particular candidates, once they call in for the interview, and you set a time, and you want to do a lot of interviews at the same time, because really you want to only give this speech once to everyone, and then, you know, I wrote out a process, and people can change this process, and maybe they can come up with better ideas. We can discuss it and debate it and maybe make some changes here or add some new things. You can go this way or that way, whatever. But the people need to get involved and do this. Okay? They need to not ask them what their position is on abortion. What's your position in gay marriage? Who cares what they think about it? They can have any position they want. We don't care. What we do care about is not to talk about these things. All they're doing is dividing the people. They don't. It's not within their power to put any of these things forward or to restrict them or restrain them back. Their business is to discuss the business of equity. And right now there are 57 codes. There are 57 different codes, equity codes, where they have the business of the discussing what's going on there, to control commercial activity, to control the political processes, to control what is going on within their own agencies, and to be controlled by that equity themselves. That's where their authority is. That's where their jurisdiction is. That's where their conversation is. And all we need to do is just open the Constitution to Article 8, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and read the 18 powers. Anything outside that 18 powers, and trust me, I've read through it a number of times. It doesn't talk about abortion. It doesn't talk about gay marriage. It doesn't talk about different sexes other than a man. It doesn't talk about any of those things. Trust me, I've read it. Go read it yourself. And since it's not there, they don't have the power, the authority to discuss those things. It's only divisive, and they must stop. And let me tell you, anybody that we support on the grassroots level, you should have that individual's phone number, email, and mailing address. And when they get out of line in Congress, let's talk particularly about Congress, okay, federal government, but also there's a local Congress, there's the state government, okay, and other. Of course, positions that candidates will fill. Let's just talk about Congress, okay? When they get out of line and start talking about these things and start in divisive, all it takes is a phone call. Hey, this is the chairman of the Committee of Safety. Remember us? We're the one that got you into office. Remember the conversation we had? Remember the papers we gave you and the things we told you? What are you doing? We can stop them. And if they don't obey, recall. Very simple. And when they appoint someone, it is their duty to make sure that they too are educated in the Constitution by sending them to take these courses. Okay? And we will give certificates. You know, when they come again, they're not going to be able to get all these courses done between the time that they ask for an interview and the time they actually are interviewed. Okay? But they can get some of it done. And they can tell us what they got done. And they can give us a 500-word essay that we may post on our website if the locals, people decide to support them and want to get that information up, we'll put them up on the website. And so they may get help them to get into the office, to do everything, to walk their papers and so on and so forth. But remember, we can take them out of office as quick as we put them into office. So it's up to us, but they must make sure that the people that they appoint, because some political positions have the power to appoint people into certain offices. And we need to know what that is. And when that individual, that is an appointed individual, doesn't want to obey the law, doesn't want to acknowledge the Constitution and follow the Constitution, then all we need to do is find out who appointed them. And that's the head that's going to roll. That's the guy that's got to fix the problem or get rid of that problem and replace them. And if not, we'll replace them both. Okay? You see, until the government fears the people, we're going to have tyranny, because right now the people fear the government, and we do have tyranny. But we will not have that liberty until the government fears us. And this is the only way that the government fears us, when we get on that phone and make that call to that congressman and say, what the hell are you doing? Didn't we talk about this? Fix it. And let me tell you something. I will tell you right now, if a county chairman for one of these parties, the Republican parties, calls a Republican individual that was put into office by the Republican Party and says, what the hell are you doing? Okay, well, then they're going to back off and they're going to be obedient to that person. Well, that now becomes us, we the people, who have that power and authority. We've been robbed of that power. We've been robbed of that authority. So people, we need to take it back. Now, I'm not going to read much more, but anyway, there's four studies that we suggest very strongly that they take. But by the time you come to deciding on whether you're going to walk that person's petition, and before you start walking that petition, you want to make sure they finish their courses. And they need to get a certificate to prove it. So we here at National Liberty Alliance will set something up so that when they go through these four courses, they'll sign in. We'll set a It'll be easy for us because we have the, we have the, what do you call it? Well, the computer, let's just say that. So we can look to see who took the courses. They can request a certificate of completion for those courses, and then we can look it up to see that they've taken those courses, and we can give them that certificate. They could take it then to the to Committee of Safety at the level where they want the people to walk their papers, and we can then that they've taken the courses and that they understand the Constitution, that they've taken that course in civics and the Constitution. And that would be the same. They should be doing the same thing also for anybody that they may appoint. Okay, again, this is quite long, so I'm not going to read any of this, but people should go through this and read this. You should understand. There are 23 points that we need to make clear to them. Maybe there is more. Maybe people can come up with some other points that we should put in here, and of course we will. With some other ideas, we can do path A and path B. Look at, we're free and independent. We can do what we want. We can't do this ignorantly. If people don't get a proper education in order to have government by consent, and they can do more destruction than good. They only become them ultimately. We have to get a proper education. We offer that proper education, and they have to get involved and try to do the just thing to the best of their abilities, and require everyone else to do the same. But we have to read the riot act to them. That's what we have to do. Forget about asking them questions. Should the Patriot Act be repealed? Why or why not? Who cares? Repeal it. Support the Republic Review. Well, that's one thing I missed on this, and it wasn't in my mind, and I didn't get it in there, that these people need to support the Republic Review. And for anyone who doesn't know what the Republic Review is, we have it up on our website. You can go up. Do we have that under education? No. Maybe today's issues. I'll have to find out where the Republic Review is. I forget where I put that, but it is up there. Terry or Jan or Gerard or anybody, if you know where that's at, just pipe in where we can find the Republic Review. But it's up here. And read on the Republic Review what that's about. We're expecting these people to go back, the state, ultimately the state legislators, to go through and check out the federal government papers to see what they put into law and start pulling out all this stuff that's lawless. And also, whenever they get into a debate and want to vote on something, well, they need to give us chapter and verse. They need to give us the article, what section and what paragraph gives them the power to discuss that issues. And again, there's only 18 issues. 17 plus the 18th issue is to write law on the other 17. So those are the powers, and that's what people should know. We should know that frontwards and backwards. We should be able to know when they're breaking the law, when they're discussing things outside of their authority.
It's under Starter Committee of Safety, John.
It is under Starter Committee of Safety? Okay.
Yes,
Yeah, that
about
sounds
halfway down.
logical. Yeah. It should be under here. It does sound. Republic Review, right here. Click on the Republic Review, and you can learn about the Republic Review. We've got a little few videos and some writing on it. A very powerful program put together by, the people from the Republic Review, and we support their work, what they're doing, just as much as we do with others. We have also the Bonds for the Winds. We support them, what they're doing. And various other groups, hopefully more groups as time goes on, will support what they're doing if we're compatible and doing things that are appropriate to get back the power to the people. So again, we the people need to do it to take that power. I'm going to pass on in a minute. Is Brent here? Does anyone see Brent? Is Brent here?
Yeah, he's here, John.
Okay, we're going to go to Brent in a minute or two. Are there any questions or announcements that need to be made?
Yeah, I have several questions, John.
Okay.
The first one, apparently the person wants more communication between users, who I assume is members here. He says, how do we do messaging between members? Could we use or add users as an option somehow?
I know we did have, they can open up rooms and where they can come and discuss things, and that could be good. You know, I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I would much rather people seeing people communicate with people on their county level. But, of course, they should be communicating with other people in the state level because, you know, counties have to work together within the state. I remember we did have that going. I don't know if we shut it off. I know we had some abuse going on. We could try it again. Let's look into that. Let's think about that. We'll discuss that on the national level and see, and maybe we'll try to open it up again if it's closed. I don't remember whether we closed it down or not, but there is an option where people can come together in their state and have a discussion board. We'll talk about that later. Next question.
Yeah, I thought that was the Thursday night call where the readers could come together or the listeners or members and discuss whatever they felt they wanted.
Yeah, we do have. Yeah, we do have a, I think it is a Thursday night call. We do have a call that, where people can come and discuss. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anybody, any group that wants to discuss specifics privately, which won't be so private anyway, with myself and or Gerard, you know, we can we set up Tuesdays for that at 7:15 by appointment. We had an appointment last week where a group of people from a county came together and had some questions concerning Committee of Safety and the committee man thing, and we did record that. We probably should upload those recordings when we do that. But when we do that, we will announce it to others so others can come in and listen in too and learn from whatever questions the people from another county may have. But of course, we're here on Monday nights for this discussion too. But go ahead, back to you, Jen.
Yeah, this person also was wondering if they could have an NLA address, and I assume they mean email address.
Well, we do have a mailing address. Mail at thenationallibertyalliance.org is our basic mail that goes to all the leadership, and usually someone in the group will pick it out and feel responsible for that and answer. I know whenever I answer those things, I also copy back to the leadership, which is mail at National Liberty Alliance, so they see that I've answered and that, and maybe see how I answered, and they may want to pipe in too. So, but that's one way, mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And as far as our mailing address, let's see, you can go to donate now to find our mailing address. It should be here. Here it is, 3979 Albany Post Road, Suite 107, Hyde Park, New York, 12538. And while you're on this page, you might want to become a monthly donor. So support us. We need support.
Yeah, I think, John,
and don't forget our campaign for constitutional sheriff. Go back to you, Dan.
Yeah, I think the person meant email address, like so-and-so Joe at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Right. Who do they want to talk to?
Okay. Next
question. If they're not sure who they want to talk to, they can send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And everyone in the leadership gets that mail, will see it, and someone will respond to it. And by the way, there's a couple of people who have taken that mail, M-A-I-L, at National Liberty Alliance, and put us onto their list of talking notes or whatever it is that they do. Listen, we don't want to be put on a list where people are having a conversation. We're trying to get business done here, so please remove us from your list if you're doing that, and don't put us on that list. If you want to get our attention with something and you think it's important, catch us on a Monday night program or set up an appointment to have a conversation. Okay, go ahead. Back to you, Jan.
Okay. I know violations of the law are common in family courts. I'm having issues with the judge refusing to acknowledge my affidavits. I have been in court for 3.5 years. The earlier magistrate on a connecting issue also refused to acknowledge my paperwork, sent registered mail, notarized documents. I was told he would not acknowledge documents despite me sending to the opposing attorney as well. Now, I am not sending to the opposing attorney because I feel their civil procedures are harmful to justice and puts me at a disadvantage. It's a holy time for me. Ramadan begins in a 30-day fasting and intense prayers starting Saturday. And I'm wondering, do I have any way to create an estoppel on this case that will halt some of their proceedings?
Well, look, join the club, the Courts of Injustice. The best you could do is make a case and put everything together the best you can, keep a good record of it, make sure you get a record of everything that they've done, whatever they filed or removed. Just get a good copy of everything. And once we get on the other side of devolution, you can open that case back up again, because that's what I plan on doing on numerous cases, and personal cases that I have in. Now, there is some things you can do, but we can't get to it on a Monday night program. I am writing a book, which I will be covering things like this on how to deal with it on this side of devolution, and how to deal with it on the other side of devolution. So I'm kind of writing it in a way from depending on where what time period you're in, you know, because right now we have courts of injustice, and we plan on getting courts of justice on the other side. Then things will be much simpler, because you're going to bring a case and looking for justice, and justice should prevail. And that's where the federal district courts, that's their job, is to champion the Constitution when you've been violated in the lower courts. So I will cover it in my book. My book is a little far behind. You know, I got ill for a while and haven't really done much writing in 4 weeks. I mean, I've been writing the last week or so, but I'm really struggling to catch up and keep ahead and then get back to my book, which will be something, I don't know what I'm going to name it, but generally speaking, it'll be Court Access and the Common Law, something like that. But until that comes out, I'm sure that's at least a couple of months away before I can get that done and actually into print. Next question.
Okay, this person wants to know why we aren't supporting an effort to, or for we the people, to get the proceeds from the Dry Trust Fund of the Emergency Banking Act of 1933, the Siskiyou Trust.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've done a quo vanto concerning that, so we've already called them out on that. It didn't go anywhere, but it sits there, and it will be applied at some point. There is the, what's the name of that, Gerard? I think you brought it up last week, that paper that was written up. It's sort of like a jubilee type thing. Trying to think of the name of that paper. But something like that, something with an N, I think. But in any event, I don't know how true that paper is. It does make common sense. Jubilee is the only way. When we get to the other side, just imagine all these people that have been destructive to everything, and they've damaged us. We're all, casualties of war, ultimately, whether it's economic or people have gone to jail or whatever, losing homes. I mean, all kinds of things. The people need to be restored. And so the trillions and trillions of dollars in gold and silver and other precious metals and properties and homes, I mean, just all these things, islands and different things that these, very few people own, let's say a couple of hundred families plus, all of the others, people that are in the deep state that are enriching themselves, all that will be taken away from them. And what do you think is going to happen with all that? You think the government's going to take that? It's not the government's money, it's the people's money. So there's no doubt in my mind, that the people are going to benefit at the end of the day. Something is going to be worked out, and people are going to be restored, economically speaking, because there's no other way. And a lot of people need to be freed from jail. There's a lot of political prisoners in jail, especially federal prisons, and so on and so forth. So much needs to be done. That's on the horizon. We did already file a paper on that, and we can surface that up at some point in time to help push that idea forward if it needs to be. But I don't think it needs to be. I think the plan is already in process and part of that process. Gerard, did you want to say something? No? Okay, I guess not. All right. We do have a couple of people in the queue. I want to go to Brent first, and then we'll come to the queue. Brent, are you ready? Gerard, are you ready to take the panel?
I suppose.
Okay.
yes, I'm here too, John. I'm here.
I'll be hanging out too on if you need help on the board. But okay, because I'm still I figured another way to deal with the board. Terry was showing me today. I don't know if you know about it, Gerard, but we could talk about it later. If you get confused, ask me or Terry or Jan to push the buttons or whatever you need done.
I'm working all off of one screen now. I don't even do that wall thing. I work all off of the one app.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing too. I found out through the app.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let me introduce Brent. Brent, you'll have the mic in a minute, and Gerard, you've got the board. All right, Brent Allen Winters, he's the author of The Excellence of the Common Law. His website is commonlawyer.com. Brent, you got the mic. And we'll
thank
pick
you.
Up on open forum, you know, queue after Brent is done.
Well, thank you. And this is Brent, Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. And John was talking about sovereignty. The sovereignty is expressed. The sovereignty of the people of the United States is expressed through jury duty. That is the ultimate power. The most powerful office among any governments of men is the power to decide right and wrong in individual instances without any appeal from that decision. If there is no appeal from that decision in individual instances, that's the most powerful power among governments of men. That is why, just as an example, to speak of that power, going to the laws of nature's God, the Bible itself, Jesus Christ said that he would establish his subpoenaed witness group, his ecclesia, called his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. What are the gates of hell? The gates of anything in the Bible is always the same. It's the courts. The gates are the courts. Why? Because that's where court was held. In the highest traffic area of any walled city, the gate was a funnel that everybody had to pass through, and that's where court was in session all day, every day. There were always witnesses. The public was there if they wanted to be. Everything was done in public. If you had to make a land transaction, you went down to the gate of the city. The witnesses were there. The loafers, you know, used to go into court, loafers hang out at the gas station, chew tobacco, gossip about things. Well, that's the way the courts used to be in America, in most of America. People didn't have TV, internet, radio. They just went down to the courthouse and kept up on all the things that were going on in other people's families. Well, that's what they did at the gates of the cities. And the gates are a theme of the Bible, and they refer to the courts, and the gates of hell are the tribunals of hell. And we today should pay attention to things like that and recognize that it is the courts, the gates in the Bible, the courts, where the courts can decide individual instances, right and wrong, and from whose decision there is no appeal, that's the ultimate power. Not that you want to do it, but since I've gone through the inconvenience of doing so for a long time, I'll pass on to you what I found out. I found out that all the highfalutin and fancy legal philosophers have come to the same conclusion. I could have pointed them to the Bible, and that would have just saved them a lot of time. But I read books that were like that of legal philosophers, and they all come to the same conclusion. The power is not in the legislature. There's power, but it's not ultimate power. Ultimate power is not in the executive. Ultimate power is not even in the Supreme Appellate Court, like the U.S. Supreme Court. Ultimate power is in the jury. That's where it is. So we encourage you to get on the offensive. Get on the offensive. You're watching all the terrible things happen. Well, the offensive is to mean that you be ready when they call you for jury duty. You be ready. You know the game. You're savvy to what to say and do. You won't ruin your chances if you want to get on the panel by saying something stupid. Get on the jury. Grand jury, petit jury. Know your business. Know your authority. And quietly and confidently do what you think is right. That doesn't mean know the law. We just went through the fundamental law that a grand juror should know, or a petit juror, the fundamental law they should know in our grand jury class last week. We went through in detail the last five of the Ten Commandments. Is there something more to know? Can you think of anything to add to that? There's nothing in the Bible that doesn't fall into one of those five headings. The expression of the will of God, what He wants for us, it's all there. I got a fellow, had a fellow come to me and said a bank stole $9 million of his assets, over 50 pickup trucks, not to mention cash and all sorts of equipment and money and bank accounts. He said, I need you to help me. I said, I can't help you. I don't know squat from straight up or sic'em from come here about banking law, and don't care to. Bunch of regulations. I don't care about things like that. Oh, he kept pressing me and pressing me and pressing me. So I said, look, I'll go find another lawyer. I found one, and from the big city. But he wouldn't come down. He wouldn't come down to deal with the case. Too far away. I looked all over that part of the state. Couldn't find anybody. And then I couldn't get the people that did know from the city to come and deal with it. And so he said, if you don't enter an appearance in this case, I'm going to go to court by myself and I'm going to lose. I don't have a clue what to do. So I entered an appearance. And the night before I decided to do it, I was tossing and turning, upset. And what am I going to do? He needs help. I can't intelligently go into court and act like I know what's going on. I don't have a clue. I'd make a buffoon of myself. That's not hard for me to do in a lot of cases, by the way. Well, I finally laying in bed, and all of a sudden it dawned on me what I'd learned in Sunday school class when I was a sapling boy. He who takes what isn't his'n shall pay the price or go to prison. He who takes what isn't his'n shall pay the price or go to prison. That was how we learned about the commandment, thou shalt not steal. I said then, laying there, I said, is there something else I need to know? Do I need to know all these regulations and all of the administrative codes of thousands of pages of banking law? And I said, no, I don't need to know that. Matter of fact, I'm going to go straight into court and say, I don't know nothing about it, don't care to. There's stealing going on here. And here's the proof of the theft. And I did. It was a long, long trial, about 6 weeks. All I tried to do was prove theft. And that's all there was to it. Well, what do you need to know as a grand juror? You don't need to know all that malarkey and tripe and the administrative codes and all that. Don't even try to. Don't care about it. So we went over the last five of the Ten Commandments. You remember the first five are vertical relationship between man and his maker, and the last five are horizontal, governing the relationship between a man and his neighbor. So we went over those. Well, you say, well, that shouldn't be complicated. No, it wasn't complicated. But the truth is, we forget about it. We forget the simple power of fundamental law. And so don't covet, lie, steal, commit adultery, or murder your neighbor. There they are. In reverse order, because in reverse order is the progression of how murder happens. First you covet, then you lie, and adultery gets slipped in there usually. Of some kind, adulterating. Covet, lie, steal, commit adultery, and if you get away with that, after stealing and committing adultery, what's next? Murder? Well, that's what the book says, and I believe history bears that out clearly. And what I'm saying to you is, you are it. And when you serve on the jury, you're the one that has to decide right from wrong in an individual instance. And from your decision, there is no appeal. Except, of course, as our Constitution says, in the case where due process wasn't followed. Go on the offensive. Join the class on the grand jury. Go to commonlawyer.com. Join a class. This is something positive we can do. Let's do it. Let's quit pussyfooting around. We don't want to come to the ends of our lives and say, well, I could have done more. I could have been ready. I didn't even try to get ready. Do something, as is said. Well, let me talk about the courts here real quick. The courts are the place where it is, and the grand jury is not a part of the court. And that's what we're talking about. But real quickly, I want to go over why we have 12 jurors and on the jury and 23 juries and the jurors. Traditionally, 23 in the grand jury, you can have less. But no matter how many you have traditionally, 23 members of a grand jury, 15 members, it still takes 12 to indict. If you have only 12 members on a grand jury, it takes 12 to indict. If you have 15, it takes 12 to indict. If you have 23, it takes 12 to indict, to bind the man over for trial. Then, of course, when he gets to trial, it's a 12-man jury, and it's all or nothing. There's no majority principle in it. No majority at all. Doesn't fit. Doesn't work. It's not used. Not part of our common law tradition. And I say again, I like to say, because I always have new listeners, many of you have heard me say this, the grand jury and the jury are creatures of our common law. They don't exist in any country in the world except 5 countries. Just 5. Fundamentally, the English-speaking world. And of those common law countries, of which we are one, we are the only one that still uses the grand jury. All the rest have quit within the last century. How important is that? Well, considering that our grand jury is, or our grand jury is unique. And here I want to back up here and say, where'd it come from? I don't know that anybody can say for sure. We trace it back from England to the north of Europe, to the Scandinavian countries, to the Germanic tribes. They were all tribes at that time. And we discover that they all used a jury. They didn't call it a jury because they didn't speak Latin. They called it a thing, T-H-I-N-G, or a thang, T-H-A-N-G, or a thung, T-H-U-N-G. When they get to England, they still have the word thane, T-H-A-N-E, which derived from the word thing. That's where we get the word thing. But beyond tracing back to those tribes 1,500 years ago and beyond, the trace is lost in the fog of antiquity. We don't really know. We can't say for sure where the jury comes from, but there's one thing for darn sure, that the record of the Bible gives an enormity of attention to the number 12. And anytime you see the number 12 in the Bible, you know you're dealing with government. numbers are exceedingly significant. Not in a mysterious, Talmudic, Judaism way. No, not in that. That's Babylonian. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the number 12, of course, the number 7. The number of completion, 7, Sabbat in Hebrew, is the word Sabbath, the end of the week, the completion of the week. And it also, it means satisfaction. And it also means, the word Sabbat means 7 when it's used as a number. And 7 and 70, and of course, the system of 7, 7 weeks, 70 weeks, and 7 times 7 years, and everything in the Bible and the law of God is designed around sevens as a matter of time. And it's a system of Sabbath. But the number 12, never see it, it has to do with government. Yeah, that's true. And we discover that, of course, Jesus Christ impaneled 12 men, just grabbed 12 men standing around, and panel them as witnesses of the evidence of his identity. He also grabbed two others, so he had two alternates in case one got sick or died, and one, you remember, did die, murdered himself, committed suicide. Judas betrayed Jesus Christ and then tried to hang himself. The rope broke, and he fell down a cliff, and his guts busted out. That's what the Bible says. Ugly story. But they replaced him. They had two alternate jurors, just like we do today at common law, Matthias and another fellow, and they drew straws, just like we do today when we draw for the jury pool, and appointed Matthias to be one of the 12. So we can trace it back that far. But we also have, now this is not, well, it's in the Bible, but expanding outside the Bible, this principle. 1 Corinthians 6, of course, talks about impaneling, the jury. But the Israelites of the first century and the few centuries before that impaneled a trial court called the Bench of Idiots. No, that's what they called it. Now, that's not a translation. The word idios is what they called it from the Greek tongue, the Bench of Idiots. And How many men were impaneled on the Bench of Idiots? Idios is the Greek word. 12. 12 men were impaneled on the Bench of Idiots. Well, you say, where'd they get that? Well, I haven't got to the bottom of that, and I don't know anybody that has yet. I do know, as I said, the number 12 is important from the earliest writings of the Bible and the Old Testament. 12 stones, 12 tribes. Remember back the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 stones that were set up, the 12 precious stones on the Urim and the Thummim of the priest. Very important. Well, the unauthorized bench called the Bench of Idiots was the trial court in ancient Israel. Bench of Idiots, and called Bench of Idiots because the word idios means unique to oneself. You've heard the word, for instance, idiosyncrasies. Well, what's an idiosyncrasy? It's something that's peculiar to one fella. That's his idiosyncrasy. That's the way he does things. That's the way he holds his mouth. That's the way he grunts when he works. That's the way he hums to himself. That's his idiosyncrasy. That's his unique way of doing things. Well, the word idios in Greek means a unique thing, unique to oneself. It's called the Bench of Idiots because the idea was that every juror of the 12 on this trial court bench, this trial jury, every person was to himself. He was his own man. He made his own decisions. It wasn't a majority principle. Every juror was to stand on his own two feet, make his own decisions on the merits of the case, the evidence that presented to the jury. As is said, every tub sets on its own bottom, and every skin hangs by its own tail. Well, every juror on the bench of idiots was to make his own judgment and think for himself. Think for himself. Is that true today? Yes, that's true today. The jury will not work unless you think for yourself. If you're under the control of somebody else on the jury, if you're willing to substitute what the judge says for what you think is right, substitute what the judge says in his instructions, you're not fit to be a juror. If we wanted the judge to decide the case, we would have let him go ahead and do it. We wouldn't have paneled the jury. But we did, and we do. This is no small thing, friends, neighbors, and kin, this jury business. Remember, there are only two duties to the militia, that's the people, and those two duties are jury duty and armed defense. Armed defense and defense of the land, and jury duty in defense of the law of the land. Enemies foreign, armed defense, militia duty. Enemies domestic, defend the law of the land, be willing to serve on the jury. Be your own man. That's the point of the juryman's job. Think for yourself and decide for yourself. And if 12 folk all decide together, fine. If they don't, and you're the odd man out, good. That's what God wants. Well, that's the unauthorized bench down there, the bench of idiots. And then there were four levels of appellate courts above the bench of idiots. Now, we often have three. Nevada only has one appellate court above the trial court. Federal court system, has two appellate courts above the trial court. You talk about the wheels of justice turn slow. People get mad because there's too much process, but in ancient Israel, they had five levels of courts. Now, this unauthorized bench on the bottom, this bench of idiots, is called the unauthorized bench. Why is it called the unauthorized bench, and all the four benches above it are called the authorized benches? Now, watch this. Again, this bespeaks the power and the importance of the jury. Because that 12-man jury down there at the bottom of that appellate court hierarchy, nobody authorizes them. They don't depend upon a greater authority to authorize them. So the ancient Israelites called them the unauthorized bench, because their authority was not dispersed from another man. And then the other four appellate courts above that trial court got their authority, watch me again, got their authority from that trial court going up the judicial hierarchy. All of the authority in the court system starts today with the trial jury. And as we'd said a while ago, there is no appeal from the decision of the jury as long as due process is followed the course of our common law. Well, since I'm getting tired and we're out of time, I'll turn it back over to you, Gerard. Thank you very much for the opportunity to say a few words, as always.
Okay, very good. Well, we got a couple people in the queue. Let's see what we got going here. It looks like Robbie.
Yeah, if anybody else wants to get into the queue, *6 and a 1. If you're on an app, I'm not sure how you do it. There must be a button somewhere to get you in the queue. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Robbie. You're unmuted. Can you hear me? Andromedia Robbie. I don't know what that means.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
What's your first name? Yeah, I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute.
What's your first name and your state?
Yes, I spoke to you 2 weeks ago, and you told me to contact you so that you could arrange a private session with me set on a Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And then you said you had to think about one of my questions. One, there was no time to ask. So if it's okay, I can ask, you know, as soon as you can talk to me. But the other one,
what was the subject? It was about a case, I presume. What was the case?
I'm dealing with under common law. I just needed to. I was trying to ponder in my mind a way to word, which you kind of were. I guess you had a lot on your mind, but you're able to word this because I've seen several examples of certain documents you all have done leading to what I was trying to ponder in my head. Just couldn't think about it, and it's really
well, what
this judge again again.
What was it?
Yeah, under the because my case is under the common law, so he took it upon himself when I asked, I issued an order for him to sign a particular document, to sign an order. That's when he took it upon himself in order to avoid it, to use 28, I forget which statute it is, and in order to avoid doing what I told him to do, to transfer the case to. Using venue.
Right, well, why don't we do this? Because this could get a little involved. If you want, we can try to meet tomorrow evening at 7:15.
Yes, please. Right, now, would that be Eastern Standard Time?
Come into this room at 7:15. Anybody else that wants to come in and listen is welcome. And we'll try to get a little more information. What's the subject matter of the case, though? Is it IRS? Is it foreclosure?
No, I did all the correct paperwork. When I was in a bus accident, and the county refused to pay me, I didn't demand.
So
I took it all the way to an estoppel, and I've already filed in the court. I've taken it all the way to a final judgment.
Let's talk about it tomorrow, and I'll give you some thoughts and ideas. And again, anybody that wants to come into that call tomorrow evening is welcome. 7:15, right here in the room.
That's one of the matters. I had another matter also. It's not a good idea for someone else to really hear about that.
Yeah,
but it's a matter of your concern that you should know.
Okay, if you want to bring up another issue, as long as it's not a court case, whatever court cases, we'll talk tomorrow. And is there anything else, though? Do you have another issue, you said?
Yes, but my husband and I want to talk to you, but it's best that I talk to you without the hearing of someone else, and you'll see why when I speak to you.
Okay. All right. Well, tomorrow's call will be open, but when it comes to the personal issue, we'll ask everyone to leave, and it'll be just you and me then. Okay?
Right. Well, the court issue people can hear, yes.
All right. So we'll talk to you tomorrow at 7:15.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Gerard?
All right. Bye.
All right. All right.
John, this is Joe Atkinson.
Good to see you.
Good. I saw your topic tonight was sovereignty. What are your feelings on changing your status from American citizen to American national?
Why? I don't see any reason to do that. All we're doing is really surrendering words and our way of life and our history and everything to the enemy. No, we one of the key things, I looked at this very carefully, the word citizen, for instance. And the word citizen, I remember, you know, they use it. So it's a bad word to use inside of a courtroom. I understand that on the one hand, because it's a game they play. It's a word game. But ultimately, the word citizen is used 7 times in the Constitution, and we, the people, are referred to as citizens. I don't think there's a big problem with that word. You know, we are a unique kind of a republic. We're a common law republic, and that brings us under, ultimately, you know, the law of God. So our republic, our Constitution, is by the authority of God, through we the people. We the people by the authority that God has given us in order to secure the land, as we're commanded to do. And that brings us ultimately to the law, to bring the law in play. So that being the case, you know, we have control over that.
What is meant by being a national then?
Well, that's the good question. I don't see any benefit to it. I think people are separating themselves in ways that they're wasting their time. That's my thinking. I'm one of the people, and that's the key. I may be a citizen, I may be this, and I may be that, but the bottom line is I'm one of the people, and that gives me authority because I'm sovereign. And every individual is sovereign, and the only thing we have to rule is our own lives. We don't get to rule over any other person, our families and our lives, our own lives. But the sovereign makes the law. That's the bottom line. We wrote the Constitution. We the people ordained and established it. We the people, as I brought up earlier and Brent brought up a little while ago, we're the deciders in the courts. We get to decide on whether someone needs to go to court or not, if there's a charge against them, whether we're going to bring an indictment or not. So the people get to decide that. But we have to be free and independent. Right now, most juries are not free and independent. There is a way, and I'm going to write this up in my book, on how we can make sure that the jury becomes free and independent if you're in court. But you may get into trouble with the judge, but it is what it is. It's the only way to do it. But other than that, we the people, get to decide in the court whether someone is innocent or guilty. We get to decide the facts. We get to decide the law, if any law is applied. The law of God, of course, is applied. But if there's statutes applied and it's appropriate because the individual is operating in commercial activity or something, or is involved in some kind of a government agency where certain codes or apply regulations or codes apply to that individual, we get to decide whether we want to apply them or not, whether we think it belongs to be applied in that case or not at all. And we get to decide what the judgment will be with an eye on restitution. We're not really very interested in putting people in jail all the time. We should be more interested in making sure that person, restores the person they injured, if at all possible, and usually it's monetary. And some people, I guess, belong in jail, but that's up to the people to decide. Now, of course, we don't decide those things. These judges, these bar judges, make all these decisions for us. They decide the law. They decide this. They put a prosecutor into the jury room for the grand jury to make sure they get the ham sandwich. So they abuse them. They stack them. They do all this corruption. That's why we have to wake up. We have to get educated, we have to understand these things, and we have to make sure it doesn't happen, and that we are free and independent. We the people also have the decision as committeemen coming together through committees of safety. Forget that statutory process that we used to do. I know you were involved with that to some degree when we were running around New York teaching it, but that's all statutory. That's controlled by party bosses, it's controlled by the bar association, so you're controlled by statutes. It's all controlled. Well, come out of it. Come out of it, my people. You know, you've got to get out of there, and let's just take the controls and do what we have to do. We can walk petitions. Matter of fact, I threw up a petition before. It's found on this page here. Download an independent designating petition. You give up your party affiliation, you'll walk anyone's papers. You can walk Democrat, Republicans, anybody.
It's almost too late now in New York because the petitions have to be in by April 7th.
Well, that may be true, and I think other things are at play, but we need to take this whole process back for next year is fine.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, right now devolution is in play. Things are going to be a big change. A lot's going to be given back to the people. The people need to be educated and organized on the grassroots level, ready to receive that power in as many counties as we can. And ultimately, maybe within a year, hopefully get at least half the counties of the United States and working on all of them. When people understand we need to take back our schools, we need to get classical education to our children, we have to teach them their heritage. There's so much we have to do, and only the people can do that. We have to do it on a grassroots level.
Yep, no, I understand.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Look, a long time ago I went and made my declaration, filed it with the county clerk and all that other stuff because I thought it made sense. But now I realize they were just corralling us into another problem, into another corner, and taking control and the meaning of words. And no, it's their fraud. They're frauds. That's what they are, and that's what we'll call them. My paperwork going into the court next, which I'm kind of teetering on filing soon, it's exactly what I'm going to let them know. Fraud on a court, conspiracy between the U.S. attorneys and the judge itself, and I can prove it. And I'm going to put it on their papers and into the court and file it. And then I'm going to go to the sheriff and ask for, an arrest, ultimately. Take it to the grand jury anyway, and get an indictment, then take it to the sheriff. But that's what we need to do. Call it what it is. Spade's a spade. They're fraud, period. End of subject.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Gerard?
Yeah, I was muted.
Okay, thanks.
Ron is next. From MO, what's that, Montana?
Yeah, I think that is Montana.
It's Missouri.
Missouri.
Sorry, I should have known.
No problem. Points of interest. I've been, listening to the program for a while. And a couple of political prisoners, one of them, which you probably already know as Irwin Schiff, served 13 years. He was totally right. But unfortunately, the deep state and the control of our courts from common law into Roman law has changed, a lot of things. But
1934, 1938 is when they did that, yep.
That's correct. Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, okay? That's when they changed into corporate. But in any case, one thing for the smaller people that want to get some attention of the judges in smaller courts, I have started to take in because I had a right to travel under the Constitution. And when I go in, and I was also a Vietnam veteran, and I took an oath to uphold the Constitution against foreign and domestic invaders, and I'm looking at all three of these people. And I'm looking at the judge, and I understand, that this particular judge was in the military also. I said, what did that mean to you when you took your oath of office? I said, you're protecting the Constitution. I said, I have a right under the Constitution to travel. I said, you got an officer over there that took an oath, to uphold his our Constitution. And I said, we got a prosecuting attorney over here, did the same thing. Everybody puts their heads down, okay? And he said, well, sir, I've never in my 15 years ever had some, person come in, with a court reporter. I said, well, I'm taking it up to the federal court because this is not right. I said, you people are violating the Constitution of the United States, the supremacy law, that we're all under. And you're trashing it. And he says, I've never quite thought of it that way, Anyway, so I started writing criminal complaints. Okay, now you can write a criminal complaint against a judge. It goes to the Department of Justice. It also goes to the Attorney General of whatever state you're in, the governor, and perhaps, if you would like, the Highway Patrol. Okay, depending on, what you're doing, that was one. Now, I wanted to bring up also...
What was the end results? Did they let you go in the case, or what?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
I had a similar situation, a few weeks back, I told them I'm going to the federal court, too. This is not due process, and similar to yours, and they let me go, and matter of fact, since then, I've been stopped twice in town by town cops, and they didn't give me a ticket. Maybe the word's out, leave me alone or something, because I'm going to federal court with them next time they pull me in and waste my time. But go ahead.
Well, anyways, I'm not going to go into all the details for something else, okay, because then, people would know, who this is, but in my particular place. But in any case, I want to bring up another political prisoner that I had just read. And this.
Yeah, by the way, Schiff passed some years back, didn't he?
About, I think, a couple of years ago, yes.
He did pass in jail. Yeah.
All of this needs to be, that's where people need to stand up, okay?
Absolutely.
Because if we don't stand up, we're going to have evil, and we already have because
that makes the point on how powerful and important the committees of safety are. Because when you have a support group like that of people who understand, who learn to understand the process, the system, and the elected process, and also the judicial process, and the powers and the authorities, they know the Constitution, and they're coming together as a whole. The people can protect the people, and that's the key. We need united we stand, divided we fall. More again, I just want to make that call out, that point. If you are not on part of a committee of safety, you need to go get part of committee of safety. And if there's no committee of safety in your county, then start one. You can always pass the responsibility to someone else once things get going. But get one going. Get involved. It's your duty, and then we need to take control of our schools and so on. But back to you, Ron.
Okay. Well, anyways, I wanted to bring up when I started this traveling about 5 years ago, I had purchased some information from American's Bulletin, Robert Kelly, and it came out to be almost a pound of paperwork. And when I started to send it into the Highway Patrol, Jefferson County, different things like that, they let me alone for quite a long while. Okay, I just wanted to kind of, but you know, it's rubbing everybody raw, because you have the Roman court system instead of common law, which you are guaranteed, you know, the right to travel without the driver's license. You know, the Fourth Amendment, if people started their Constitution, you have a right to privacy, to private property. You know, when's the last time anybody could remember that they signed a contract for personal property tax or real estate taxes, you know, as far as that's concerned? Mm-hmm. Okay, but all right, we'll skip on that for a little bit here. And I wanted to bring up David Merlin, webgov.com. Now, he's in, he was just sentenced. Because, you know, he has a right, comitatus? Yeah, you know, and I think he went a little bit above board when he started threatening, you know, the judges or whatever with physical violence. But under the circumstances, he probably was correct, because he wanted to arrest him. And he can under common law, but under Roman law, that's, you know, they sentenced him to 40 months. But I wanted to bring this up, you know, because there's, you know, in his particular teachings or videos or whatever, you know, you can file criminal complaints, you know, just like, you know, an intent, you know, to secure a judge's bond or whatever. These are just things that need to be let out, you know, and that's, I've been listening and, just little things that I have done, you know, to stand up for my particular rights, no, everybody's rights. This is our Constitution. This is, you know, this is our country. It's not, you know, the deep state. I've read this stuff for 20 years. I stopped paying federal income tax legally 20 years ago. Legally. But, you know, the whole thing is to punch the bully in the face, you know, or take him on. And, you know, stop doing all of this, because we are the ones that are causing it. We are paying the extortion fee for the federal mafia. That's how this is working. And then they take the money and use it against us. And that's how all of this stuff works. You know, and you know, unfortunately, we have been indoctrinated into our socialistic schools, you know, to be deaf, dumb, and good slaves. So, you know, that we could just, and like, you know, I want to bring up the Supreme Court of Idiots also. They have trashed our country. They got, you know, we have abortion.
Absolutely. Look at that. Let's take abortion just real quick. You know, that belongs in God's court. It belongs in a court of law. It doesn't belong in a court of equity. It has nothing to do with them, and they should not be making those decisions.
That's 100% correct. You know, right along with taking prayer out of schools. Well, now we are enjoying all of that, okay? With our teenagers shooting teenagers, with the border wall, you know, and I being up, you know, I'm not into drugs. I don't want to be, you know, into drugs. I have an occasional glass of wine or some beer. But you know, I have talked to some people that were mischievously doing things, you know, with drugs or whatever. And he said once the wall went up, they couldn't find no drugs. And the epidemics stopped because they couldn't find the drugs to OD. So, you know, I mean, people that are cutting, you know, Mr. Trump short, maybe he is, you know, I'm not so much an exaggerator, but, you know, nobody is perfect down here, you know, and I have people that say that he's a liar, that he's this, that, you know, but I'll tell you what, this man has got his head on a pole, you know, on a pedestal with crosshairs on it. And he's, mm-hmm. you know, you got to give the man credit, you know, for going out for everybody, even though you got the Democrats, you know, I just met a Democrat. I said, I don't care what you are, you know, whether you're, you know, conservative or the other, you know, but you got to understand something here. You got a man that says when he points his finger at you, he says, I'm giving you your country back. That right there. Okay, that means what he's telling you is, hey, you're going to own your own home. You don't have to pay personal property tax no more. You don't have to pay the extortion fee for the federal mafia. You know, you don't have to be under slavery. Because once you start to do this, just like, you know, the Committee of Safety, you know, we need to do this, you know, because if we don't, it's just going to get even worse because they'll just come to your house late about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever the story is, you know, bust your door down. And if you don't, you know, if you don't have something to protect yourself, and even then, you know, you're going to be outnumbered. You know, they're going to have the police force there. And that's wrong because they took an oath of office to uphold this Constitution.
Right. Okay. Well, they're totally out of control, you know, totally out of control. And we read a little earlier about the fact, I'll just read real quickly. This is, what is this? This is Supreme Court Ex parte Watkins, 3rd Peter, and what is it, Sandcloth versus Bustamante is the court case. And I look, I use the Supreme Court cases to make the point in order for them to be obedient to the authority above them. And the United States Supreme Court, this is a United States Supreme Court ruling. And so the federal judiciary, the lower court, federal courts, they need to be obedient to what their boss has to say. And the boss is clear where it says a decision of a Supreme Court may only be challenged in a court of appeal. The decision of an inferior court is subject to collateral attack. In other words, in a superior court, one may sue an inferior court directly rather than resort to appeal or to appellate court. I don't appeal anything. I sue directly, and that's the attitude we the people have to got. We're not appealing anything. We're not asking any judge to make any decision. No, we sue directly for the damages that they have done. And things are so far out of control. I have a friend recently who was arrested because they were stopped. They searched the car. He didn't give them permission to search the car. He said, no, they went in anyway. They came with dogs and all this stuff. I don't know what that was all about. But anyway, the dogs went through the car 3 times, found nothing. And then they ripped the car apart. They did find a bottle of prescription cough medicine, a prescription which was his uncle's, who had forgotten it in the car, left it in the car. And they arrested them anyway. On a bottle of prescription cough medicine that was his uncle's in his car. I mean, that's how, and they took his money at $1,500. They took his money. They said it's drug money. They connected it to the bottle. That's how sick this whole society situation, our justice system, how they train the police force. I mean, the bar has total control of this nation. From every aspect you can think of, they control everything. Even our medical services, the pharmaceutical. You know, look at when you get sick, you get older, you get ill, and you have a problem here, it's usually a deficiency. So what do? They just make you sicker. They give you all this crap that's only going to destroy your liver or your kidneys or do something else, combination 2 or 3 things. And people don't realize this. They're just being killed. And they're making as much money off them as possible as they're, you know, really murdering people. And that's how bad it is. So, yeah, we have a serious problem, and we need to fix it, and we're coming to the devolution, and when we get to the other side, we the people better get up and get ready to take control. Otherwise, someone's going to have to fill that power void, and if the people don't do it, guess who's going to fill it? You're going to go back to these representatives that control the whole process and back to the same thing all over again.
Well, here's a few other things while I got you on here. One of them is Landlock, about people that can go in to the recorder of deeds, and they can go ahead and steal your house. Well, here's something mm-hmm. that most people are not aware of, and it's called a land patent. I'm sure you do. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just wanted to bring that up for the listeners, that if they could file a land patent against their property with a lien on it, okay, which you can do, you can take it to the recorder of deeds, which I have done, and you can go ahead, and that will secure your property. And it's very...
Well, there may be an easier way than that, too, because a land patent does get involved. You know, it costs money and time. It does get a little complex. I know a couple of people who have worked on that, and we had a member that had a lot of stuff on that, and he passed away, so we don't have that paperwork that he worked on it with. But it is very involved, and there is a simpler way to do it. You can go down to the town and require them to move your property into private. Get out of residential. Say, this is private property. I want it into private. At that point, they remove you off the tax rolls and everything because they can't tax it. I guess that's still part of their, you know, statutory process or whatever. But moving it into private property does move it into a different category. Well, so that's just another way to go about it.
No, that's like fantastic because, you know, I was about ready on David Merlin. The guy's name is Paul Hansen Law. But, you know, the people that are really interested will look this up, okay, under David Merlin. And,
well, just a quick note, and I'm sure you may be aware of this, is property taxes are going to be gone the end of the year. No more property taxes. Income tax will be gone by the end of the year. No more income tax. Because okay. We're returning back to the Constitution once devolution takes its play out. We're going to turn back to the Constitution. And if they're too dumb to realize that this is what needs to be done, then we the people, that's where we have to stand up. I mean, NLA is ready to go into the courts to make the battle, make the position, make the point clear. But, you know, people need to step up and do what they have to do. But I think it'll come automatically because... Look, you can't take the nation back, give it back to the people, and say, we're back to the Constitution, and then not obey it. And there is no such thing as a direct tax, and, you know, as far as being lawful. Direct tax is unlawful, and that's what an income tax is. A tax on property means you don't own it. And if you go read the paperwork, you realize you're a tenant in your deed. Again, it's a game they play, and the lawyers set everything up. The medical system, everything, the judicial system, the political system, all big corporations. I mean, everything is just insane. Yeah, try to call a doctor today. You get to keep trying to tell you to go make your appointment online, go here, get this out. Who wants to do that? I want to get a person on the phone and talk to them. And you can't even do that. It's really crazy. But we need to get it back. It's up to the people to take it back. Get up and let's take it back, everybody.
Absolutely. I'm working on it myself. And, you know, I've sent in my particular area, you know, the governor, attorney general, and different people like that, consent of government book, you know. But anyways, all right, you know, it's been a pleasure, John, you know, and I appreciate it. I just wanted to just open a few things up for, you know, the people, you know, and wish them, we need everybody to join in, you know.
Amen.
Absolutely. So, hey, I appreciate it, and God bless everybody.
Thank you. You too. And next week, I'm only going to spend a very short time on the Republic versus a Democracy. We've got lots of information on it. I got a paper that will be up online on it. But I just want to touch a few things on that. But what I do want to talk about and start getting people more involved is to let people know how many committees of safety we have going on a weekly basis. Like I said, a week ago, I counted 77. Hopefully tomorrow when I meet with the national leadership, maybe we'll have more. And then every Monday we're going to report on how many committees of safety are in process. You know, it may just be a couple of people talking and they haven't done anything yet, but it's in process. And that's the important thing. People are moving on it. And I'm hoping to get more and more people involved. Let's get these committees of safeties up and going. Okay, Gerard, we want to close down. I guess it's a quarter after. We're running late. We do have two other people that came into the queue. I don't know if you want to spend time or close down.
We're 20 minutes over, so.
Yeah. All right. Again, I'm going to try to cut my thing short next week so we have more time on open conversation. And the two people, someone from Texas and someone from Buffalo, New York, you know, get into the queue early next week and we'll get you. Again, let me really strongly suggest that people go and take a look at this interviewing candidates. And again, you know, for some states it may be too late, but it doesn't matter. We have to learn this. So whether it's too late or not, we need to get together, discuss this, and learn it and apply it on the next election that applies to you and your state and your locale, your political subdivision. But you can click and download a PDF copy of this page, which is this here. It's the same thing, but then you can print it out and have it on your computer. But people should read through this, and let's talk about this next week if we can, because it's so important. You know, again, I see a lot of questions, and they you know, people may think they make sense, and they do kind of make sense, but why give them the opportunity to make a decision for us? Let us tell them what we expect of them, and if they don't do it, then we will take them out of office. We will not support them again. And that's what we got to do. But, you know, for government by consent, got to get involved.
There you
okay,
go.
With that, I guess we'll close down, Gerard.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
Next week.
Good night, everybody. Godspeed. Yeah.